I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us receive our King. Today, as we gather together to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the Christ who has come into the world, we proclaim that he is our Savior and Lord. We sing all our favorite Christmas carols, every verse, thanks to Alyssa. And we greet each other with a cheerful Merry Christmas. We recall the scene of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. He was born in a lowly stable. And we just heard in the gospel that there was a heavenly chorus of angels that announced his birth, and how shepherds followed the star to his manger bed. And on Epiphany, we will hear that wise men from the east came on a journey to bring him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And besides the gospel, we've all heard different Christmas carols, and one in particular always gives me a chuckle. It's called The Little Drummer Boy. And as the song goes, a poor little drummer boy comes to the manger, but he has no gift to bring, not one that's fit for a king. But yet he played for him on his drum, and the baby Jesus smiled at him. Isn't that a sweet story? It makes me think of what kind of gifts we bring to Jesus, but also, if that's our only focus, it may distract us from what gifts Jesus wants to give to us this Christmas. He brings us gifts if we are ready to receive them. This Advent, I've been reflecting on the hymn, I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. And I've come to realize that among the many gifts that Jesus brings to us, for me, this Christmas, I've been focusing on forgiveness, love, and freedom. Throughout the years, we've all done things that have hurt other people, whether intentionally or not. And perhaps we've even asked some of those who we've hurt, we've asked them to forgive us. But sometimes we still carry the burden of wondering whether we are worthy of being forgiven. And then there's the other side. We've all been deeply hurt over time, and sometimes the pain doesn't go away. It may be buried, waiting to resurface. To forgive and to be forgiven is at the heart of Christ's message to the world. Now, I'm reminded of a story I heard many years ago. I was watching television, and they were interviewing a woman called Corrie Ten Boom. Have any of you ever heard of her? She and her family in Holland and the Netherlands, as the Nazis were coming to their town, they hid some Jews in their house. And she wrote a book about this, called The Hiding Place. I remember her saying in that interview that forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. What makes this statement so remarkable is that she had been a prisoner at the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück. After her Dutch Christian family was arrested for hiding Jews from the Nazi, she and her sister went to this prison together. While there, her sister became very ill, and as she lay dying, she told Corey that no matter what, she must forgive those who arrested and persecuted them. After the war was over, Corey went around Europe and North America preaching forgiveness. One day, while she was speaking in Munich, Germany, she recognized one of the guards from the concentration camp as he was in line to come up to greet her. As he stood before her, he told her that he had become a Christian and that he knew God forgave him, and she asked her to forgive him too. In that moment, she struggled, knowing that her message of forgiveness was either real or not. And so, through the grace of God, Corey was able to shake his hand and then embrace him and to forgive him. And they experienced the joy of forgiveness and reconciliation. In Ephesians 4, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." That message of forgiveness calls us to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we accept God's gift of forgiveness and are able to forgive others, we can truly walk in love, and that changes everything. To love and be loved is the greatest gift we can receive, and it is love that comes to us at Christmas. Now, during this year, many of us have probably faced personal tragedies. We've been with loved ones who were suffering, and even had to say goodbye to family members and friends who passed on into eternal life. All of us have been directly or indirectly impacted by natural disasters, such as hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, and wildfires. We watched in horror as Hurricane Harvey slammed into Texas and continued on its path of destruction. Then it was our turn to watch the Weather Channel, as it predicted that Florida was going to take a direct hit, and it looked like it might even make landfall right here in Tampa Bay. And then Hurricane Maria stunned us all as it hit Puerto Rico, even as other Caribbean islanders had gone there to take shelter after their islands were nearly destroyed. In the midst of such destruction, there were many acts of kindness that will not be forgotten. Remember those scenes from Houston where people got into their own boats, some even coming from as far away as Louisiana? They got in their own boats to rescue those who were trapped by the floodwaters. I know there are others that worked at community response centers, including one here in Tampa. People thought of others, even though they may have been under mandatory evacuation orders. Many found shelter in homes and schools throughout the Bay Area, and some of us even evacuated to Georgia to be with family during that time. I think for many of us, this was a stressful year for many reasons. But what I want to remember is the many acts of love and kindness that we will never forget. For it is those acts of love that bring Christ's love into the world. And let us not forget there are still those who are suffering and trying to rebuild their lives. Large populations are still without power and running water. And I know that many charitable institutions are helping those in need, such as the Episcopal Relief and Development Fund. It's amazing that no matter what our circumstances, that we can reach out to others in love and kindness and generosity. Now, on this Christmas Day, we celebrate God's love for everyone, for each and every one of us, whether we are rich or poor, in sickness or health, or in any need or trouble. We are here to remember that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son Jesus to show us how to love and be loved. We're all familiar with the words from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And farther on in the Gospel of John, it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I've come to realize that the gift of true freedom can only come from God. And knowing that we are forgiven in love and loved sets us free to be all that God created us to be. We don't always live into that freedom. We often hold back and limit ourselves. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because of fear. But John also says there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not perfect in love. Many circumstances can cause us to feel fear. Like I said earlier, with all the natural disasters and all the tragedies that seem to be around us, it's often hard to overcome that fear. But God offers us that freedom, freedom from fear. It is perhaps the most precious gift of all, this Christmas, to know that we are forgiven, loved, and free to be all that God created us to be. During communion, we will be singing, "I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free." May this be the song of our hearts today. Amen.